Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, the Flavor King.
Jordan Morris, Boy Detective.
It's my new favorite kind of pluot, Jordan.
What was your old favorite pluot?
I couldn't tell you. It was not labeled with a varietal. But I got to the farmer's market this week.
Jesse, I thought we weren't going to talk about the farmer's market on this show.
Well,
Is that maybe just a rule I have for myself? Maybe that's, listen, I don't want to impose my rules onto you. If you want to talk about the farmer's market, go ahead. But I mean, I just have too much self-respect to do that.
I mean, I certainly don't have any self-respect if that's the issue.
Oh, go ahead.
Is that the
Yak
concern?
On about bringing your cloth bags. Oh, you bring your own cloth bags?
Yeah, I bring two nylon. I just got myself a nice cart, though. I got myself a folding cart.
Oh, yeah? How's that work?
This is what like is the highlight of my week in whatever month this is, September 2020, got myself a folding cart. Went ahead and got the nice one, the one that Wirecutter recommends. And then I got a handle extender.
God, look at us. Look at us. Look at what we've become. Talking about the farmer's market.
Jordan, I, for one, used to be totally punk rock. And now it's all handle extenders.
Yeah. Come on, man. Let's shake things up. Let's do a sit-in. Let's chain ourselves to a tree that they're going to cut down.
Yeah, I mean, if it's got a handle extender, I'm in.
Here we go.
Because otherwise you have to hunch. I don't want to have to pull heavy
pluots. No, that's
true.
It's bad for your back.
The point is, my regular stone fruit vendor didn't have any pluots, so I went to a different stone fruit vendor, and I said, give me some of those pluots there, and she said, you're going to like these. These are the Flavor Kings.
Oh, wow.
And you know what? She wasn't wrong. They're green with vivid red interiors. Beautiful, beautiful fruit. And you know what? They don't call them Flavor King for nothing, Jordan.
Yeah, fuck you, Flavor Duke.
Flavor Viceroy is out of here.
I mean, so maybe this is just me, but I prefer the Flavor Queen. Thank you. Yes, I know. Very brave.
Okay, our guest on this week's program is a stand-up comic and comedy writer with a brand new comedy record and a brand new television program on which our friend Jordan also worked. The show is called Earth to Ned. It's very funny. I watched it with my daughter, who's been marking the days until it appeared, and it satisfied all of her interests and desires. Our guest, Eliza Skinner.
Hey!
Jesse, did you tell your daughter that Ned was Santa?
I did tell her, yeah.
Good, yeah. I've been asking people say that he's some sort of religious adjacent figure, so that works out.
Right, yeah. I initially told her that Ned was the Tannenbaum.
Yeah. Or whatever cherub hangs out with St. Valentine. That would work too.
Yeah.
The Easter Bunny.
Listen, it's a show for Catholics. if you're a Catholic, you'll love it. If you're not, you won't get it.
It's not. This is all nonsense. It's a show for everybody.
It's a show for everybody. He's not some sort of deity. He's an alien. He interviews celebrities. Everybody. Mm-hmm. Watch with the kids.
Yes.
Including friends of Jordan Jesse Go. The first episode features two friends of Jordan Jesse Go as guests, Andy Richter and Gillian Jacobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You will see many comedy adjacent guests as you watch the show or comedy guests, like a lot of comedians on there, too.
I'll also say in the field piece, you got a couple of JJ Go past guests. I think you got a Brian Cook in there. You got an Aparna Nancharla. You have a Louis Vitrell.
Yeah, Louis Vuitton, yeah. And Candace Thompson, who, guys, get her on the show if she hasn't been yet.
She's not welcome back. She knows what she did.
Okay.
I'm kidding. We would love to have her. We'd be lucky to have her on the show sometime.
I have an important question. So on Earth to Ned, Ned is an alien.
Yes, that's it. That's right.
Interviews celebrities. Sure. This is the premise of the program. He came to destroy
to do
Earth.
With you. Don't worry.
Got distracted. Thank you. It's not one of those insider show business parodies of NPR's least popular program.
No, it is not. It is not.
Is all the parts of Ned a puppet?
What do you mean?
Like, is there any part of Ned that's like
organic and real?
Put on with no, not like does it have real human hands that have been grafted onto?
His head is an actual crab that is not happy.
That's it. The nose comes from a cadaver, but everything else. No, I mean, like, is there any like graphics or anything? It is the most if it's all puppet, it's the most expressive puppet I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, everything is puppet. Almost everything in the show in general is practical effects. There are a couple things that get put on afterwards, but most of what you see is was happening on the stage. Ned is the most complex puppet in that it takes 6 people to work Ned.
Holy cow.
Yeah, 3 people on the hands, 1 person in the body. And then 2 people running the head, Paul Rugg, who does the voice and works the mouth, and Alan Troutman, who does the eyes and the head flap.
That's 2 fewer people than it takes to work Judy Dench.
Hey!
Take that, the beloved actor Judy Dench.
Yeah.
It's universally loved.
We have like puppet royalty all over that set. It's nuts, all the people who contribute to it in these seamless ways. Like, I mean, the way that all the puppeteers work together for Ned is just bonkers. There was a moment in the Gina Carano interview that did not make it into the show. She's on our sports episode. It's out now. You can see it. But she said that she was from Las Vegas, which is where Paul, who does the voice of Ned, is from. And so when she said that, Paul just honestly, his human self was like, what? And all of his hands went up and his body threw back and his flaps went up. Like, all 6 of these people worked together in this instant moment to give this perfect reaction of completely off script surprise. And that was one of the moments where I was like, oh my God, this is crazy what we're doing. This is so unbelievable. They're like symbiotic.
Eliza, would you say that puppet skills are a type of circus skill?
All right.
I wouldn't, but I would say that everyone with puppet skills also has circus skills.
That is a very good observation.
There were lots of circus skills on that set. Yes.
There were a lot of people. I will say, working for Earth to Ned, you will see a lot of people coming and going who have a few steampunk items
on
their person.
Sure.
Who are just casually wearing a few steampunk items.
If I had ever had questions about Burning Man, all of them got answered.
They kept pressing for the final guest to be a giant-headed papier-mâché Ralph Nader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. And we fought for it, but it didn't end up that way, sadly. So, hope for a second season.
There was a cold open that took place in the Orgy Dome as well, but...
but we kept getting sand in the puppets, and we're like, this is not going to help.
Yeah, it was just a sand issue. Strangely, not a standards and practices issue.
No, just the puppets were uncomfortable with all that sand in their crevices.
So being on set and kind of watching it happen, I had just this kind of amazing moment. So the puppets are puppeting and they seem alive and you like them immediately. Like, I mean, that's just kind of the thing with the Jim Henson creations is like everything you see, you're like, I like that. I like them.
Yeah. Without being scared of not making them weird. Like, they're not just cutesy pie. They can do all kinds of different, like, creepy, eerie, like, yucky, but they're still likable and cute at the same time.
And so when the puppeteers would have to, like, take a break, like, when someone called cut and, everybody went to take a break, like, the puppets would just kind of slump over with their eyes open. And it was so unnerving. Like, it was like not only like, oh, something is wrong with them, it was like something is wrong with my friend. My friend is hurt. Someone call someone. I was like concerned about them when they weren't moving.
Yeah. And sometimes we would have to straight up take off somebody's head and put on a different one.
Yeah.
Or stick a screwdriver into somebody's mouth and work on their animatronics. But they all seemed okay.
How did you figure out? I mean, Eliza, you're the head writer on the show, and Jordan also wrote on the show. How do you figure out how to write jokes for a new puppet character? Like, did you have the puppeteer who does the voice just like do it for a few weeks in front of you until you could tell what its deal was?
No, we all kind of worked together, like pushing it forward inch by inch, where like the puppeteers were working together without us around, just at the creature shop, because they did have to work on their characters, but they also really had to learn the mechanics of these different puppets, because each one is totally different. So they were mostly working on that, but working on their dynamic, while we were also working on their characters and their dynamic. And so they came in, they were like, we're kind of like this. And we were like, well, we think you're kind of like this. And kind of inched each other back and forth until we figured out something that we understood and they understood and took the best of what they were doing and made it something that we could add to. It was a really weird situation, but I think what made it all work was the willingness of everybody to collaborate and have it be the best possible final result rather than have anybody's idea win. You know what I mean? Like, nobody seemed to be like, I got to win this.
So you're saying Jordan lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jordan lost a lot of times, but we had a crate for him. And so he felt safe in there after his.
And you put a sheet over it to trick me into thinking it was nighttime.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we'd be like, it's a whole new day, buddy. No big deal.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Go get some coffee. It's morning time.
Have a peck at your seed bell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes we would put a mirror in there and he'd be like, it's another Jordan. And
I know. I'm sorry. I told everyone I wrote on the show, but I was actually their pet or mascot.
You got to get inspiration.
Kind of how like an elementary school classroom has a bunny.
Yeah, a different one of us would have to take him home each weekend and keep him alive. Yeah.
And it was very traumatic to the kid whose house I died at.
Yeah. Well, he learned a lesson. You know, everybody learns.
Yeah.
There's a new pet here at my house.
Oh.
Yeah, my son Oscar has been wishing for a pet of his own forever and a day. Mm-hmm. Mostly because my dogs are old and they don't necessarily like my children.
They're more into books.
Yeah, exactly.
They're readers.
And so we have avoided it for 4 years because we don't want anything else to take care of. We have too many things to take care of. And we finally caved.
Did you guys all get Tamagotchis?
So we did get my daughter a Tamagotchi.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Nice.
Because my daughter has not been asking for a pet, but we needed to be fair.
We essentially gave Ned a Tamagotchi on the show.
Oh, yeah.
In our pets episode. We gave him a pet lemon that I named Daniel Day Lemon.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
Jesse, did I spoil the punchline of that? Did you actually get a Tamagotchi for the kids?
I really did get a Tamagotchi, but for my daughter, Grace. My son, Oscar, got a living pet. Which was, we went to the tropical fish store and bought a betta fish.
Uh-oh. So he was not looking for an active pet.
I just wanted the easiest pet that exists in the world. Like, I had tried to convince him that, like, various inanimate objects would make a good pet. And I hadn't quite been able to pull it off. I came pretty close to pulling it off.
Hey, you can take care of this Lego Star Wars A-Wing.
Yeah.
You can name him, but he has to be named A-Wing.
You don't have a lot of options as to what the name is going to be.
But this is what happens when you go to the tropical fish store. Because I looked up, like, what's a fancy fish store? Because I thought I should be going to one where they really know what they're doing, because I don't know anything about fish. Mm-hmm. And I went to this fish store.
They work well with a good lemon squeeze, am I right?
Yeah.
Hey.
I brought Oscar with me. And this was like, he's been to the store twice in the last 6 months. And has been to no other things, basically. Yeah, so.
Wait, he's been to the fish store twice? Or
no, to the store. Okay. Any store in the world.
He's involved in commerce a couple times in the last few months.
Yeah, he hasn't been to the grocery store. We go to the grocery store by ourselves, mm-hmm. you know, like, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he was excited just to go somewhere, but also kind of worried about it. We get there. I tell the guy that he's getting his first fish.
You know what's a good, like, introductory store to take a kid into? Spencer's Gifts.
Oh.
You know, actually, Spencer's Gifts, now they have an adult section. So I would say that might be okay, because when I was a kid, the adult stuff was just willy-nilly all over the place. Oh. That was right. Shocking.
Here's some snow globes next to penis pasta.
Yes, exactly. And I'd be like, oh no, it all feels weird now. I can't trust these snow globes even. Was it a joke I didn't get?
Should I be in here?
Yeah.
They explained to us as we stood in there that when you get fish, you buy a tank, you set it up, and then you come back the next day to buy the fish.
Oh, it looks like prepare the waters.
You got to like get the levels right. Yeah.
Right. The salinity.
And yeah. I'm like, fuck. Because I just told the 6-year-old he's getting a fish. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And this is the second time the 6-year-old has been out of the house in 6 months. So I'm pleading with my son. I'm begging my son.
Listen, just take him to Spencer's, get him a poster that says 1 tequila, 2 tequila, 3 tequila floor.
Oh, you can also get soap in the shape of a sperm.
Hmm? There you go.
Yeah.
That's like a pet.
Sort of, yeah.
It's a pet and a great bachelorette party gift.
So I finally say to the guy, okay, well, can we look at the fish? And he's like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, okay, well, which ones are suitable? And he's like, well, what kind of fish were you thinking about getting? And I'm like, well, we were thinking about maybe a betta fish, but I really don't know. And he goes, yeah, well, I mean, if you get a betta fish, you can just keep it in its cup and put it in tomorrow. I'm like, you saw me here begging a 6-year-old for forbearance in the midst of a pandemic as we buy him his first pet of his life. And you could have just said, well, there is one option. You could get a betta fish that you could take home today. That's probably what you came here for anyway.
Well, he was probably just trying to upsell you.
Yeah, he wanted to change your life. He wanted to usher you into the world of exotic tropical fish. Betta fish. Right. I mean, we used to have betta fish at one of the hotels I worked at in the bar, like as wall art. There were betta fish. So you can smoke around them is what that means.
Would you like periodically have to do scans for dead ones?
Oh, every day. I was like, they're dead. And they would be like, no, those are betta fish. They just kind of hang out like that. I'm like, geez, they're like stoner college students. They're just like always just kind of flopped over on their fish couch.
Have little DVDs of Fear and Loathing in
Las
Vegas. Yeah,
and they're always just like trying to push them on everybody. Like, we should watch this.
Oh,
like,
you gotta watch it. You've never seen it.
You just don't want to talk to me, betta fish. Just be honest. But yeah, like, I bet he was like, look, you can do that, or you can get into the world of the sunfish and clownfish.
Sharks.
Oh, yeah, I killed some sharks in college trying to get
what?
A...
What?
My roommate and I were like, we should get fish as pets for the dorm room. And then the next day they were dead. They were little tiny sharks, though.
Little tiny? Where do you get a little tiny
Walmart.
Shark?
Walmart. That was the only store in our college town. And wow. Then soon after, I was no longer welcome in Walmart. Not because of the fish. It was a whole thing. Anyway.
They sold. Wait. So let's deal with these things each as they come. Number one, they sell sharks at Walmart?
I mean, that's what they called them. You know what? They were probably like some kind of very no big deal fish, but they were like, people are going to want to buy them if we call them little teeny tiny sharks. So we'll do that.
They sell live animals at Walmart?
They did at the time. Yeah. I mean, this was back in the like 1940s when I was in college. But
what were the other options? Were there other, was there like puppies?
No, it was just fish. They just had different types of fish.
But mostly sharks.
Well, I mean, we were like, oh, we're cool bad chicks. We're going to get sharks. And then they died.
Did you not get water conditioner?
No, because we were like, yeah, they're going to be badass. We got rum.
Oh. Hell yeah.
You know what the problem is with sharks in dorm rooms is you can't smoke around them.
Yeah. Right.
They're such fucking narcs.
Yeah, that was really what it was. We were like, shut up. Like, people would call the room and be like, what are you guys doing? We're like, I don't know, partying. And the sharks would be like, we'd like to read. And we're like, shut the fuck up, sharks.
I'm going to ask the RA if this is okay.
Yeah, so, and they kept flossing.
Yeah.
Like, you guys don't even really have that kind of teeth. But
yeah, and they like go home every weekend.
Every weekend, like, right. Yes.
Yeah.
Did you have sharks also? Because that's exactly right.
Listen, every dorm room has a couple of sharks that aren't really ready for college.
Yeah, they cried a lot.
I found out 6 months into my freshman year that the shark on my hall went home every weekend because he literally did not know how to use a washing machine.
Yeah, that happens a lot. That happens a lot. Yeah, we had a lot of fires in our dorm room kitchen because the sharks just weren't used to anything that wasn't water-based.
Right. So. They were always candles, open flame.
Yeah, and like they would microwave popcorn way too long.
Yeah. Number two, why did you get banned from Walmart?
Shoplifting. I was fighting capitalism. So.
Oh.
Good. Somebody needs to take that thing down. I've been saying this for years, Jesse. Somebody needs to take this capitalism thing down.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
I'm not familiar with it, but I'll go with your advice on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to take it down. I'm ready for some ethical consumption.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I was like 18, so, you know, I didn't have a whole plan laid out for more effective capitalism fighting, but I did get, I did want some free film for a camera.
I was going to guess Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
No, 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 no. I support the Yu-Gi-Oh industry. I'm not going to try to steal those.
Those are artisans.
Yeah. Again, blue-eyed dragons, you know, that's what I will spend my money on.
Thank you.
What, Eliza, were the other notable destinations in the college town in which you attended college?
Well, I will tell you, halfway through my college career, we got a new attraction in the town, which was a Sheetz gas station.
Oh, I've heard about this Sheetz. Our friend Justin McElroy from My Brother and Me had an entire web video series dedicated to Sheetz.
Oh, it was so exciting because we didn't have anything that was open late at night except for Kroger and Waffle House. And, you know, of course we would go to the Waffle House. We were cool. We needed to drink coffee at 2 a.m. like college kids do. And every now and then the Kroger would get sad in the middle of the night. But the Sheetz, not only was it 24 hours, but also you ordered on computer screens, which was still very new then. So we were like, what are we living in Total Recall here? I'm getting a turkey sandwich from this computer screen instead of the person standing 1 foot farther away from me. This is great. So yeah, we would go to the Sheetz gas station out by the highway. It was so The other things in the town, sorry, no follow-up questions on Sheetz. the other things in the town were a Tyson chicken plant and a Purina feed factory with a short line railroad between them. So the Tyson plant would send chicken parts to the feed factory. And
you know, you could take that short line railroad all the way to the hotel on Baltic Avenue.
It is pricey though. Joke. What you want to do is own it.
Yeah, you gotta own it. You gotta own it.
And then the feed factory would send feed back to the chickens for them to eat. So the whole town would smell like dog food sometimes.
Was this in you're a Virginian? Was this all going down in Virginia?
Mm-hmm. Yep, in the Shenandoah Valley, James Madison.
Beautiful country.
Yeah, it was very pretty. Yeah, there was a lot of Mennonite farmers markets and Mennonites in general, which always felt weird to stand in line behind them at the ATMs. Like, I was like, is this okay? You guys use these? But hey, I didn't know, you know, I'm not going to question someone else's expression of belief. But a weird thing that we had on campus was, I don't think I've told you guys about this. I didn't notice it until my senior year. There was this house. It was just like a house on the corner of the campus that had a sign outside that said Natural History Museum. Have I told you about this?
No.
No. No.
Okay. So I love natural history museums, and I couldn't believe, like, again, one day in my senior year, I was like, what the fuck? How did I never notice this? Yeah, let's go in here. And so me and one of my roommates were like, yeah, we got to go in and look around. And again, it's just a house. So like the living room area is there's a little sign on the door that's the world of insects. And inside it's all these insects and, you know, butterflies and spiders all pinned up on different boards so you can see them. And then in the dining room area, it's like the human body. And you go in, it's all these different human organs in jars.
Oh, boy. That's not something you want to see in a residential house.
No. And let me tell you, those were cloudy jars. Yeah. Very cloudy.
You got to clean your jars.
Yeah, you know?
What else
do you have to do all day?
Yeah.
Just squeegee those jars. And then at the back of that room, there was a door to another room that said the miracle of life. And so I remember opening that to enter that room. That was not a room, though. It was a very shallow closet with a bunch of stacks of shelves that had fetuses at different stages of development. So imagine opening a door, thinking you're entering a room, and then boom, it's just that. You're like, no. So I closed that door.
I was hoping you were going to say the sign said the miracle of life, and you opened the door, and it was just two people fucking.
Yeah. No, it was a skeleton and a ghost, and they were making out. and then they look at you and go, this is what you are. This is what you are.
Just a ghost inside a skeleton.
Yep, that's what you are. So then you go upstairs, you know, where all the bedrooms would be, and it's just all these taxidermied animals. And you know, taxidermied animals, like in different sort of like fight poses or like being majestic, all that stuff. Except almost every single one had lost its eyeballs, and the eyeballs had been replaced by cotton balls with little black marker dots on them for like pupils.
Jeez.
And that was bananas. They were all super wonky, fluffy little eyeballs pointing this way and that way. It was weird.
Was the house operating as a house in addition to being operating as a museum?
No, it was clearly somebody's personal collection. I assume they had died and were like, please use my collection of weird shit to educate the masses. I think it wasn't part of the school. It was just grandfathered in on that plot of land. Because it definitely didn't say like the JMU Natural History Museum. It was just natural history. Come on in. So it was so weird.
Yeah, that seems like the kind of thing where you would like find out later that the person who owned it was a murderer.
Yes, for sure. Except there, like, if there had been more human body parts than there were taxidermied animals, I would think that, yeah, definitely. But as it was, it did feel like the human body parts were sort of an afterthought. Like, this person had definitely spent decades collecting foxes and squirrels, badgers and muskrats, all looking angry at each other. And then was like, how do I round this out?
What'd they have in the basement?
I didn't even think of that.
That's the gallery of ex-wives. Ex-wives throughout the ages.
I actually think the basement was moving forward in time, like upgrades to the human form, where it was humans with like other animal parts sewn onto them.
Oh, right. What we will become.
Looking to the future, the miracles of science, something like that. Yeah.
This just says evolving to punch God?
So does this make people want to listen to my comedy album or watch Earth to Ned? Am I doing this right?
Listen, Eliza, none of us are doing this right.
fair. It is interesting. When we were making the show, I was like, my personal goal of like best case scenario was I want to make a show for a new generation of weird kids who don't have to be scared to ask questions about the world around them, and also some stoners. But I also was like, this show is so weird. This is a weird, weird show. It's only going to be appealing to weird people. And then in the time between us rapping and it coming out, amongst all of the other things that have happened to the world, which there have been a lot, it also kind of bloomed everyone's personal weirdness. So we suddenly had more weird people who were like yeah, this is exactly what I'm into. Please show me a weird TV show. And so it seems to have fed this, it seems to have like met this weirdness in people in a way that's worked out for us.
Yeah, I think I feel like the TV landscape needed some silly nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, I think maybe I've talked a little bit about this on the show, but like my kind of quarantine TV diet, like you just have to be real careful that the shit you're watching isn't going to send you into a like anxiety spiral.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's like, oh boy, like what do we got? Boy, ooh, seasons 3 through 10 of The Simpsons, the Sci-Fi Channel, Years of the Mystery Science Theater 3000. And then, and now, yeah, just watch, just fucking now watch an alien talk to Lil Rel, okay? That's not going to remind you of the election. It is not going to remind you of viruses. Just watch an alien talk to Lil Rel.
They're going to be, they're going to have some fun together.
They're going to have fun.
You know, it's been working out for me very well as far as the non-freak out TV stuff, besides Earth to Ned, which everybody should watch, is the Britain's Best Home Cook show. You guys familiar with this?
No.
This is, okay, so you know how Mary Berry left Great British Bake Off?
No. I also don't know that.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so your listeners do.
Eliza, you're right, they do.
So there's the Great British Bake Off, or the Great British Baking Show.
I know the guy from the Mighty Boosh is on.
He is now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had this big rift where one of the judges, Mary Berry, left and Paul Hollywood stayed and the two hosts, the comedians, left. And that's when Noel Fielding came in, who, yes, I like Noel Fielding a lot.
He's great.
I feel like all of us have been like, well, what happened to Mary Berry? On Hulu now is the show that Mary Berry is judging, which for those of us who don't care about baking, I don't care about baking, it's just a bunch of pleasant, supportive British people making risottos and roasts. It's wonderful.
I like that.
I have heard a lot of people say that like British like reality competition, British food TV is like the most soothing of the televisions.
It really, like, they give each other food, like when they're like, oh no, I don't have chilies, somebody else be like, right, I've got them, you can have mine, and you're like, come on, why can't we all be that?
Don't help each other.
No, it's wonderful, it's lovely. It's like, okay, so competition really is about doing your best and hoping that your best is seen, not destroying the other people.
Well, I mean, you know, reasonable people can disagree, Eliza. Jesse, did your son name the betta fish?
Yeah, it's named Finny.
Can we workshop that a little bit?
Wait, no, it's perfect. It's perfect because, okay, between the three of us, don't tell your son this. The betta fish probably doesn't have that long.
Oh, no.
So when there's another betta fish, you get the joy of naming him Finn again.
Oh.
And that's pretty special.
Do what happens when he dies? We have a wake?
You have Finnegan's Wake.
Yeah, you have Finnegan's Wake, and then you can get Finnegan Begin Again.
Wow.
Jesse, yeah. This is going to turn your son into the drunken Irish poet you always wanted in the family.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Of course, every episode of Jordan Jesse Go is supported by the members of MaximumFun.org. This week, we've also got a message up on the Jumbotron from a Jordan Jesse Go listener to you. Do you want to play funny online trivia with friends? Don't answer yet. Geeks Who Drink wrote more special questions just for this spot.
Do you want to read the first special question, Jesse, and I'll read the next one?
Sure. A candy-coated almond is named for what Mideastern nation? For what beloved comedy writer?
In a 2007 film title, Robert Ford assassinated what real-life dude?
A kind of knee-high boot is named for what Austin Powers dance style?
pause as long as you need, dummy. Answers are Jordan.
I don't know if
Jesse
that's the right tone. I don't know if they're finding the right tone with this.
Answers are Jordan, Jesse, James, and Go-Go. See? Clever. Sign up for more of this crap at geekswhodrink.com and use discount code JJGO420. JJG, excuse me. JJG420.
I feel like sign up for more of this crap is right on brand. That's exactly what we're looking for.
Geeks Who Drink, I've done their bar trivia before. It's a ton of fun. I love these guys.
You can go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron if you want to share a message, either personal or professional, on Jordan, Jesse, Go. We'll be back in just a second. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Eliza, cool tropical breeze. Skinner.
How do you use one of those breezes? You know what I did today? I cooked an egg in my front yard on my front patio.
Did you really?
It's 116 degrees today in Los Angeles, so I just brought a skillet out there and put an egg in it.
Just to see if it happened?
It worked.
How long did it take?
I mean, I had it out there for half an hour, maybe.
Wow.
Did you eat the egg later?
Yes, thank you.
No, I did not.
Come on, you gotta eat the egg, baby.
It got kind of crystalline.
That's your whole, that's not fair for you to work in your catchphrase, Jordan.
Sorry, listen, I'm trying to move t-shirts, okay? Showbiz is slow. I need to move t-shirts. You gotta eat the egg, baby.
Yep. And then it's a snake with like an egg shape inside of him, right?
Yes, it's an egg eating snake. And then Paul Simon's "You Can Call Me Out" plays.
I mean, it's not the most obvious catchphrase
or synergy with the song.
Yeah.
Is it confusing? Yes. I never said it wasn't confusing.
I mean, it's a catchy hook in the song. That horn line is catchy.
It really is. Very memorable.
So it would help you remember the egg-eating snake. Mm-hmm.
True.
But then what does that have to do with your brand more generally, Jordan?
Listen, I'm not a think things out kind of guy. I operate on emotion. I operate on gut. I go with my gut, Jesse.
Isn't Jordan's brand whimsy and like living in the moment?
I feel like
carpe diem is pretty much eat the egg.
Yes, exactly. Carpe diem, eat the egg.
I guess my Latin isn't as strong as yours.
Yeah, there's a lot of interpretations of that phrase, and one of them is eat the egg.
Right, yes. Socrates said it.
let's take some calls. When something momentous happens to you, call us 206-984-4FUN or just record a voice memo and email it to us at jjgo@maximumfun.org. Here is one such example of such a call that we've received.
Hi, Jordan, Jesse, and guest. This is Mike in Tulsa, Oklahoma, calling with a momentous occasion. I found myself on the highway this morning, and things had slowed down to a crawl. I was about to drive up on a really, like, nasty wreck. And as I got up there, I saw what it was. A truck full of candy had dumped all of its contents all over the highway. There were Swedish fish. There were Peeps. There were all sorts of packages of just candy everywhere. And a part of me really wants to cry because I couldn't pull over and scoop up armloads of it. So there you go. Momentous occasion for you. Candy spill on the highway. It sounds like the saddest children's song by Bruce Springsteen ever. Have a great day, guys.
Now, this is why we have momentous occasions.
Wait, you know what that means, right?
What?
That means a kid found a monkey's paw. Some kid someplace was like, candy explosion on the highway.
Yeah.
I get all of the candy.
Ah, fuck. I killed two truck drivers.
That's the whole thing with monkey's paws. Oh, yeah. You know, you think you're just going to get your wish, but you don't know about the ironic twist.
Yeah, kids, if you're out there, I know a lot of kids listen to this show, but
yes,
if you find a monkey's paw, just word the wish very carefully.
Yeah, monkey's paws are very stupid. And even the best of them were penned by O. Henry, which still makes them just obnoxiously ironic.
To just write it out. Write it out a couple of times. Take it. Do a couple of drafts of the wish.
Yes. Make sure it's watertight.
Does the same company make Peeps as make Swedish Fish? That's what I was. That's what the surprising part of the call to me is, that those two things were on the same truck.
I believe Peeps are like, it's a company called like Newly Born or something.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I mean, Peeps seem like they're just made by Peeps.
Right. Peep Co. But yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that the factory that has the machinery to make Peeps is also making Swedish Fish. I don't know, maybe they all just kind of go to the same, like, central warehouse or something?
Yeah, it might have just been, like, candy store. Oh, it's Just Born is the company that makes Peeps.
Yeah.
They also make Mike and Ike's and Hot Tamales, which seem very similar to Swedish Fish. So yeah, maybe it was just general stocking for candy stores.
That'd be funny if after the crashed candy truck, there was a crashed toothpaste truck. You ate too much candy.
And then a crashed penny truck for the witches in your neighborhood who...
Right, yes, exactly.
Don't give out either.
All the Halloween options.
Yep.
Let's play another call.
Hello, Jordan, Jesse, and I'm going to say Helen Hong. Close. I'm calling in with a momentous occasion. This is Ari in Minnesota. I use they, them pronouns. Today, I asked out my crush, who also uses they, them pronouns. And they and myself and my husband have a date next weekend and may soon become a throuple. So that's pretty exciting. Love the show. Bye.
Oh shit! Way to go! Wow. I hope everybody's being safe. I don't know. Listen.
Hey, people are podding up. They're podding up.
I'm not a Dr. Fauci over here.
Let people pod up. They know what they need to do to mitigate risks at this point, right? Maybe. I don't know.
Just make sure everybody in your thruple has gotten a test. Take their temperature. Blast every part of your thruple with that temperature taking gun.
That's not how it works. It doesn't, like, you don't blast people with the temperature.
Yeah, just, they do that to you right there outside Kaiser Permanente.
It's just reading your temperature.
You go up there and then pow.
Everybody from the thruple, meet at Kaiser Permanente. Get blasted with the temperature gun and then
pow.
Go to town on each other.
Wait, but go home first. Go home first. Don't do it outside of Kaiser Permanente. Because there might be kids there, and who knows what the rules in their house are and what discussions they've had and haven't had.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Spare the staff of Kaiser Permanente.
I think this is how it works, and I'm not 100% sure. But, you know, the virus is spread by respiratory means.
Right.
Primarily.
When you breathe in someone's ear.
I think thruples, when they're going to town... they're facing away from each other because they're rubbing butts together.
You know, let's be respectful. Sometimes they rub other parts.
Yeah, Jesse, you can rub. I mean, I don't know when the last time you had a sex education class was, but you can rub anything on anything.
Yeah, and it can all be sex.
Really?
Yeah, all of it is sexual. Now it's if you just have to declare something sexual for it to be sexual now.
So hey, if you're out there. Just start rubbing on your thruple.
Yeah. I like to go to the grocery store, mask on, very safe, and grab some shredded cheese and just massage it while I make eye contact with people and really test boundaries that way. Because
look them in the eye and go to town on the Tillamook.
Mm-hmm.
I like the thicker shreds.
Yeah.
I like the thicker
chunky,
shreds.
A chunky cheese.
Ooh, I need a chunky cheese.
You know, guys, I've been with my wife now for about 20 years.
Well, that explains it.
Congratulations.
But I would not be opposed to bringing Tillamook into a thruple. I think I could get my wife to go for it as well. But you know what? I'm going with Tillamook ice cream. I think that's the best grocery store ice cream.
Wow. Whoa. Either way, Tillamook is a giving lover, and I hope this counts as an ad read.
Tillamook, it'll fuck you and your wife. Use offer code WIFEFUCK30.
Yeah, you know, there's a fetish that's being consumed by, I guess, generally women, but I think it's anybody, which is impossible. So the only way to express that fetish is like drawing it, which means there's all these, no offense, dudes who draw like crayon drawings of ladies with them inside, and they always look so happy inside the lady. That's my favorite. It's like a smiling little crayon guy, like, yeah, I'm inside this lady. And I'm like, human sexuality is a beautiful, diverse thing.
Yeah.
He's like in there giving a thumbs up.
Yep, pretty much.
I love it.
Yeah.
Are they turned on by that part in the Little Prince where the snake eats the hat?
For sure. I think they're turned on by like Jonah and the whale, any kind of you getting eaten by somebody. It's got to ring somebody's bell. Honestly, I think everything has to ring somebody's bell. There's people who marry tilt-a-whirls.
I think it's just people who literally want to be up in them guts.
Yes. Through whatever means necessary. Yeah. To be truly known by someone.
If you have a momentous occasion for us, 206-984-4FUN or jjgo@maximumfun.org. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. La, 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 la.
Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
And together, we host a podcast called Still Buffering, where we answer questions like,
why should I not fall asleep first at a slumber party?
How do I be fleek? Is it okay to break up with someone using emojis?
And sometimes we talk about butts.
No, we don't. Nope.
Find out the answers to these important questions and many more on Still Buffering, a sister's guide to teens through the ages.
I am a teenager.
And I was too.
Butts, 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 butts.
No. Will you change your mind?
Hi, I'm Dave Hill from before, and I'm very excited to bring Dave Hill's podcasting incident back to Maximum Fun, where it belongs. You can get brand new episodes every Friday on MaximumFun.org, or, you know, wherever. And while my partner Chris Gersbeck and I might lack in specific subject matter on our podcast, we make up for in special effects. Chris, add something cool right here. Also, we have explosions, animal noises, and sometimes even this. Dave Hill's podcasting incident, every Friday on Maximum Fun. Chris, do another explosion right here. La, la, la,
la, la, la, la, la. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Eliza Skinner, cool tropical breeze.
Yeah. Can I get that with rum instead of tequila?
No. No. No exceptions. No substitutions.
Oh, man.
But we have a flair bartender, so enjoy
Whoa.
The show.
80s Tom Cruise?
It's the only flair bartender there is.
EarthNet is on internet television.
Yes, it's on your Disney Plus application.
Just like National Geographic.
This is one of the most popular services. You can also watch, my daughter recommends this, and she also recommends the movie The Shaggy D.A.
Ooh, wow. I like our Venn diagram here.
It's a sequel to The Shaggy Dog. She has not seen and does not want to see The Shaggy Dog.
Wow. Does she want to be a lawyer?
Nope.
Okay.
I mean,
she just likes people with like goals in life, maybe?
If she had the chance to be a dog lawyer, maybe.
By dog lawyer, do you mean a dog who is a lawyer or just anyone who represents dogs?
A dog who is a lawyer, but she wouldn't be above representing dogs.
If a dog got into some legal problems.
Yeah.
If a dog had some patent issues.
I mean, there's a dog mayor. For sure, there's got to be crooked dog mayors. So
yeah, that's true.
I have to say, Eliza, you've made some really bold assertions There's that thing about Tilt-A-Whirls earlier. There's this Dog Mayer thing.
People for sure fall in love with and or fuck Tilt-A-Whirls. That's not, I'm not making that up. I'm not creating the story. I'm reporting the news.
There's a show about it. I think it's on A&E. Is A&E a channel anymore? I don't know.
There was a lady who married the Eiffel Tower. You know?
That's true.
And I will relate it to John Berger, who wrote Ways of Seeing, talked about the aesthetic emotion as something that creates an overwhelming rush of emotion that you can't otherwise explain, and that's what art is. And I think for some people, that same sort of feeling, that's what you want to fuck. So what I'm saying is we've got complex brains, and it's beautiful.
That is, I have a lot to think about.
Yeah, they let me make a show for Disney.
It is so funny that there is an app where it's like, do you want to watch a puppet show from the Jim Henson Company where an alien interviews Lil Rel? Do you want to watch all the Marvel movies? Do you want to watch That Darn Cat? $6 a month.
I got to say, like, the thing that has been... I've been really floored and excited by the reaction to the show that so far it seems like everybody who's bothering to talk about it has liked it a lot, but also specifically that they have said that it reminds them of early Jim Henson productions and like that sensibility, which to me was not only funny and whimsical, but also edgy and risk-taking and assumed that kids could figure that stuff out and take away from it what they wanted to take away from it. Just like That Darn Cat.
Exactly. really challenged me as a youngster. In addition to Earth and Ed, which people should watch, Eliza, you've got a comedy album out.
I have a new comedy album.
It's not only stand-up comedy, but it's funny songs.
It's both. Yeah. It's live recorded stand-up comedy and some produced tracks that were recorded in the studio, so they're not live, of music. And it's all weird. And yeah, it was really fun. My goal with the music was to have it be really actually good music, not just... sometimes comedy music can be... for it to be funny, it needs to point you to the punchlines in it.
Surely you're not talking about Corky and the Juice Pigs.
No. That's very complex stuff.
I downloaded them on Kazaa.
But like you and I, Jordan, wrote a couple of songs for Earth to Ned together. We wrote...
That was really fun.
Yeah, we wrote Don't Ask About... No One Likes On-Set Pranks. And,
right.
And a song that has not yet been released for... one of the episodes that has not yet been released.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, Good Night, Sweet Claude.
This is funny because I think I was some sort of writing from home day when we had one of those songs. So, you know, I think I did the first draft of it and then, you know, just like did the lyrics and then to, you know, kind of give people an example of how to make the song, I just kind of had a little tune and sang it into my phone. And then, like, attached that with the script. And that's something I've done before. Like, when I've written a few episodes of Unikitty that had songs, and they would just say, like, and write a song here about going under the sea. And I'm like, shit. So, you know, you write the song, and then I would sing it into my phone and attach it with my script. And now, every time I get in my car, you know, my
you have an
music on my phone
that?
Just shuffles. And sometimes it'll be me going, live under the sea. You gotta live under the sea. Anyway, if anyone else ever rode in my car, it would be embarrassing.
I have, my version of that is having hip-hop tracks for freestyling over. That it'll be like song, 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 and then just like a beat. And I usually am driving by myself. I have a 2-seater Miata because I'm your divorced dad.
And, ooh, two.
Yeah. And so when those tracks come on, I'm like, I feel embarrassed for the track if nothing is happening. So I'll kind of rap over it so the track doesn't feel bad.
Yeah. Mm.
Which is just embarrassing for me.
But, who will watch the Watchmen?
Yes, right. Exactly.
Who will rap the Trackman?
Too much empathy. too much right. empathy is what that is. Yeah, so so I wanted to write fun songs that actually sounded fun and like they were part of different genres of music. And I think we did that. I wrote my music for the album and for the show with Tim Young and Steve Scalducci, who I met working on The Late Late Show. They're in the band there. And they're really great, and they made everything sound super good. And it was just really fun creating things with them, because in both senses, you know, I would talk about different songs that I liked and different feelings that I wanted to have happen. And they would sometimes talk about complex music things that they wanted to have happen. And then we would sort of triangulate and meet in the middle, and see what ended up in the final edit of things. And I think it made for neat stuff.
That's like when I collaborated with Neil Peart from Rush.
Yeah.
Which time?
I'll talk next week. We can talk about the record I'm making with Pharoah Sanders.
Is he alive?
He's alive. He's alive.
I wrote a song for John Legend. That was a thing. That's real.
Yeah. He has an EGOT.
He does have an EGOT. Yes. I have seen his EGOT. He also has a really complex Japanese toilet.
Wait, is an EGOT its own thing? Like when you get one, do they give you a whole separate award?
No, but like in the same place he has all the awards. But they should, right?
He's glued them all together.
Yeah, they sort of form like Voltron.
Who would give that to you?
Right, the Emmy's the arm, yeah.
I bet we could corner the market on that if we were like, we're the EGOT distributor. It's very high end. We have this a molded EGOT that only people who have EGOTs can get, but it costs $10,000. I bet people would buy that.
I feel like it could look like a horrible David Cronenberg creature.
Yes,
like,
that's absolutely. It should shame people who have it. It should be like, who have you helped? What have
this
you done?
This is the monster you've become.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you could have been connecting with people, but instead you excelled professionally. Yeah.
Eliza, will you share one of the songs with us at the end of the show? Can we
sure.
play? Can we play something from the record?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You can. I'll give you "L.A. Comic," which is a country song about being. This is going to be weird. An L.A. comic.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's about being on the road, which nobody is anymore. So I think it's a nostalgic tune now.
It's like Let's Go to the Hop.
Brian Sunny D. Fernandez is our producer on the program. You can find us on Reddit, MaximumFun.reddit.com, on Twitter, at Jesse Thorne, and at Jordan_Morris. Hashtag at JJGo if you have corrections, of course. We care about nothing so much as the quality of our product, so do tweet them at JD Power. I want to mention, by the way, because it was 10,000 degrees today in Los Angeles, I went over to our mutual friend Elliot Kalin's house from the Flop House to go swimming in his pool, in his backyard pool. And our friend Elliot said to me, you know, I've been listening to a lot of Bullseye lately. And I said, yeah. And he said, Jordan has been doing a really great job hosting. And I said, yeah, Jordan always does a great job hosting. So if you're a Jordan fan like I am,
shucks.
And Elliot is,
shucks.
Jordan's been guest hosting, conducting some great interviews over on Bullseye, my public radio show, as I have been detained with family matters. And I'm very grateful to Jordan, not least because of what a great job he does. So go check that out. There's some cool interviews over there. Plus, Carrie Poppy from Oh No, Ross and Carrie interviewed Alex Winter from Bill and Ted. So
yeah,
that's pretty great too. And he's a cool dude too. Besides just being in Bill and Ted, I mean, he's great in Bill and Ted. Don't get me wrong, but he's a really interesting man. And that's it. We'll talk to you next time on Jordan Jesse Go. Here's a track from Eliza's new record.
Woke up close to dawn before the breakfast bar was on. Local news expecting me in 10. Got here late last night on a 2-connection flight. In a couple days, I'm doing it again. Left behind a Honda Fit and a man who won't commit. Neither one is fit for the road. So I'm taking it in stride and I'm along for the ride. I'm just a nearly comic on the road. A soft hand bitch writing pilot episodes. I got TV credits still unknown. I'm an LA comic out here on the road. Walked along a rough highway to see a half-price matinee. Looked a whole lot closer on the map. Spent an hour at the mall doing what I don't recall, but I touched 100 t-shirts at the Gap. You don't bother learning names when every green room looks the same, except that one with a drain in the ground. Did a show in Tennessee, opened with "What's up, DC?" Call me Cheesecake Factory, I'm in every town. I'm just an LA comic. This tunnel has a light. One day you're a hit, the next you're a flop. You can break your heart or it can make it stop. Fame's the only thing that saves your life. I'm just an LA comic on the road, waiting for that check I'm owed. Till I slit my wrists or sell a show, I'm an LA comic out here on the road.
Thin
little voice.
That's good.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.